So we thank God for another good morning that God has given us to listen to His word. And indeed, He is faithful, He is gracious, He continues to be our friend, our all in all, and our strength. So when we started looking at the book of Colossians, and yesterday we were able to see how Paul was grateful the church in Colossae, and you can see how he calls them to the saints and faithful brethren in Colossae, in brethren in Christ who are in Colossae. And he says, grace and peace to you, and peace from our God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. And he thanks God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying for you always, that ever since he heard of their faith in Christ Jesus, and their love for all the saints because of the hope for which they have in heaven, and when they heard the word of truth. So he has always been praying for them, and he prays that the word that they have heard will continue to bear fruit in them, just as it bears fruit all over the world. So there is a word that is the truth of the gospel that is able to reproduce fruit in our lives. One of the things that you will see, there is an evidence of someone that is in the word, in the gospel, believing in Christ, is that they will bear fruit. And fruit is something that is evident. Fruit is, the Bible tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is love, is joy, is peace, is patience, is kindness, is goodness, is gentleness, is self-control. And then it says, apart from all this, there is no law. So that means that when you are bearing the fruit of the Spirit, when the evidence of the Word of God is at work in your life, then you will no longer be under any law. When you're not under any law of Moses, then you are only submitted to Christ. So you are under the law of Christ. Because in Christ, there are things, there are realities that we receive, there are realities that we are given, there are realities that we are partakers of. And it first takes the place of growing in that knowledge of what God has already given you. And this is the difference between the son who is still a child, who is still under tutors and governors, and the son who is mature, the son who has taken full responsibility, and the Father is ready and has committed all things under Him. So, first of all, we have to get to the place of sonship. The place of sonship is a place of understanding what Christ has done, what God has done in Christ. He has reconciled us to Him, that we become born again, born not of perishable seed, but imperishable seed of the precious blood of Jesus. One, we are begotten of the Word. We are begotten of God. That means God makes us His legitimate children. And when you are a child of God, there is a power that you receive. The Bible says, He came to His own. Those His own did not receive Him. To those who believed Him, to those who received Him, He gave them the right, the power to become sons of God. So there is a power that you receive as sons of God. But then, you must know and you must grow in that understanding or in that knowledge of what is already yours, of the things that are freely given. Now, that is the difference between the young son or the nebius, which is the son that is still growing, the one that is under tutors, and the mature son, the one who is the heirs, who is led by the Spirit of God, the one who knows everything that Christ has done for them. The finished works of Christ are not just an idea, but they are a reality. They are a place by which we live. It becomes your reality. And so anyone that lives in the place of that reality is always be greater than anyone who is still trying to enter into that reality. And so that is why we have to understand the things that are done for us in Christ Jesus, the things which God has established for us. And this is what we are going to be reading even today as we understand. So verse 9, let's read, because I want to pick up a bit from yesterday where we He started expressing and understanding the in Christ truths, and then so that we can be able to fully just take a moment to reflect on what God has done for us and what do we have in Christ Jesus. Verse 9, he says, for this reason, Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So one of the things that we get to receive in Christ, and one of the things that God gives us as an inheritance, is actually epignosis, and this is knowledge. Now, what I mean is that when you received Christ, you received him fully. When you believed in Christ, you received him fully. You received the Holy Spirit. You won't receive another Holy Spirit in future, but you grow in your understanding, and the various expressions of the same Holy Spirit grow out within you and become rivers of living water. And Jesus said, if any man is thirsty, John 7:37, let him come to me and drink, and out of his own belly shall flow rivers of living water. So when we come to Christ, we drink. When we receive the Spirit, when we are born again, when we are regenerated by God, then we receive the full Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit in his entirety measure. But you see, we grow in our understanding of him, we grow in our knowledge of him, we grow in our expression of the person that we have already received upon salvation. So it is not that you're going to receive another Holy Spirit, but you have already received him, but you need to grow more in your knowledge of him, in your understanding of him. You need to grow more in the place where you submit and you yield more to him, that it becomes more of him working through you. Now, when you grow in that knowledge and understanding, that wisdom and spiritual understanding, then you know that you have the life of God within you. The Holy Spirit is the life of God. And the life of God will always want to take expression in our lives. And that is why Paul says, Galatians 2 verse 20, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me, and the life I live in the body, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So he's saying that he has gotten to the point where it is no longer he that lives. Why? Because he is in Christ and Christ is in him. But now he has submitted his will to allow Christ to be preeminent in his life and Christ to be the husband that he submits to. Remember when you're speaking about the deeper mystery of Christ and the church, where it says, husbands, love your wives, and wives, be submitted to your husband in all things. And he's speaking about the church and Christ. And so when you are as a bride, as a chaste virgin, washed and cleansed by the word of God, then you are submitted to Christ. Then it no longer becomes you that lives, but Christ that lives in you, because you have come to the understanding of the relationship, of the union, the mystery of the fellowship, of the koinonia, of us being made one with God, one spirit with him. So there's that unity that happens when we're born again. We receive him, but then now we need to grow in knowledge. Progressively, we have progressive knowledge in that which has been given. Not that which will be given, that which Christ has given. That's why it says that you may be filled with the knowledge. That means you may be filled with the epignosis. That thing which is already given, may it grow in you more and more. and that in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And each and every day when we listen to the word of God, God continues to connect the dots. God continues to build up that knowledge, that understanding, because it is the way you think that you are. The Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. If you think right, you will live right. If you think right, you will live right. The reason why people are mad is because they have their own reality. There's a reality that they have. They are living in another world where they speak to others, they speak to voices and people and things that we don't see, but to them they are real. So there is a reality that they have. And Jesus tells us that our real life is now found in Christ. So whatever Christ says about you through the word of God must be our reality. And that is the difference between truth and what is true. What is true is a fact, but truth is what is true in heaven. It's what God has said it is. So you will have to decide, do I want to live in the reality of heaven, or do I want to live in the reality of the earth? And this will always be a struggle between believers, especially those who have not yet fully come to the comprehension of who Christ is and what Christ has done and has accomplished for them. And you will ask yourself, choose, which one do you want to live under? Is it under heaven or on the earth? It is better, it is far much more profitable to live in the reality of heaven, because that will give you peace. In heaven, there is no sickness. In heaven, there is no sin. In heaven, there is no lame person. In heaven, there is no lack. And yet Jesus says we are seated with him in heavenly places, far above all thrones, all powers, all dominions, all principalities, all forces of darkness. We are seated with him. So if you live and you sit with Christ, the Bible says, he who sits in heaven laughs. So there is a laughing that we have when we sit with Christ. Why? Because we know he has placed us, he has given us his leadership, his power, his dominion, his wisdom, his wealth, his honor, his glory, everything that was given to the Christ when he ascended to that throne. It is also our reality, because we are seated with him in Christ in heavenly places. Now, when you grow in this knowledge and in this spiritual understanding, the Bible says, verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him and being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, what does this mean? Is that anyone that has come to the full knowledge of who they are in Christ, of what Christ has done, they have believed it, they have received it, then what happens is that they walk worthy of the Lord. The Bible speaks of, if you go to Hebrews 11, and when it speaks by faith, Enoch walked with God until he was no more. And the Bible says, because he was found as one who pleased God, because without faith, it is impossible to please God. And they that come to him must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, when we speak of the faith of Enoch, we speak of a man who walked with God until he was no more. Now, that walking is about speaking about someone who came to the understanding that he is united with Christ, is united with God in spirit until God took him. That means, and that taking away is like until God took him as one will take a wife, as one will be joined with him. Enoch walked with God by faith. So there is a faith that Enoch walked in, that God revealed so much of God to him that he became united with him. And this is what gave God pleasure. That's why the Bible says, walk worthy of the Lord. That means fully pleasing Him. How do we please Him? We please Him by faith. We please Him by knowing that He is in us and we are in Him. We please Him by knowing that He is in us and we are in Him. By knowing and having that faith and using that faith to resist every contrary thing that contradicts the truth of the Word of God. So the Bible says, you will take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. Is it fear? You resist the fear. You just say, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of sound mind. Is it sickness? You say that by His stripes we were healed. That means that we are not even working towards healing, but we were already healed. And you know that God cannot be sick. There is no sickness in heaven. There is a reality that you are not sick. You resist it. And that is why everywhere Jesus went, the Bible says that He healed the sick and He destroyed every works of the devil because God was with Him. Jesus and sickness were never at the same level. There is no day we are told that Jesus was sick. Why? Because He lived in the reality as a man, that He was united with God. He is one with God. And that's why He says, don't you know that if you have seen me, you have seen the Father? And it is not I that do the works, but it is the Father living in me that does the works that I do. He says, in that day you'll know that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. And He says, and we will come to you and we will make our home in you and we will dwell with you. So He's already coming. And that's why He says that when you walk worthy of the Lord, that means you have now come to the full understanding of the faith that God has given you, that you are united with Him, you are joined with Him. And since you are joined with Him, and by faith, it is a belief, you believe it, and then you start to know the work of God. You not start to know the Spirit of God rising in you. And then the Bible says, being fruitful in every good work. Then that is when you bear fruit. You bear fruit when you know that God, the God living in you, is the one that is doing the things. It's no longer you that people see. It is Christ that you bring to the people. It is Christ that is helping you to lead your team. It is Christ that is helping you to lead your marriage. It is Christ that is helping you to be a parent. It is Christ that is helping you in business, in the marketplace. It is Christ that is living through you. That's when you know that it's not a future reality, it's a present reality. It's a present reality. And anyone that walks in the present reality of knowing what God has done, that's why He says that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, then you can walk worthy of the Lord. And this is when you are fully pleasing Him. Who is it that pleases Him? He that believes that God is, and that is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So with faith, we please God. What is the faith? The faith of the Son of God. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. It says, I no longer live. When you submit yourself, then now you walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. Why? Because you know that He you are in Him and He is in you. But then remember, He is our head. He is our husband. And we yield to Him. We submit ourselves to Him. Then we walk in the liberty of the sons of God. Then when you know that, then you can be fruitful. for every good work, and then you continue increasing in the knowledge of God, in the epignosis. You're growing in that understanding. Then you are strengthened with all might. You see, so you can see how it goes. It starts with knowing. You see, revelation is what determines your access. Revelation opens you to new realms. What you know about Christ is what you live by. The difference in the churches is just because of what you know. What you know about God determines the circumference of your life. That is why you must increase in the knowledge of God. You must increase in the epignosis of God. You must increase in it. This is it, that complete and accurate knowledge of God that is already given to you. Remember we spoke about God gave you his full spirit. You're not getting an additional spirit. You received it. But now you grow, you increase in that complete and accurate knowledge of God, of all things ethical and divine. That means not only in the divine realities, but also in the ethical things. That means it's the life of God works in your members. And so now that is when the fruit is manifest, because that is the ethical, all things ethical. You know what to do. You do the right thing. But then also you live in the reality of what God has accomplished for you in Christ Jesus. I'll stop here and I pray that God will give us more insight into this. You're welcome, my brother.
Thank you, Dr. Mani. Do not make any additions on my side. Just trying to meditate on the reality of living in Christ and Christ living in me. And what that means, I mean, you know, for a Christian and for a confessor of Christ is, you know, trying to know that knowledge that, you know, once Christ is in you, there's nothing that you cannot do, or there's nothing that can fail.
Amen.
Confidence and that faith alone. Because, again, faith is available for all of us. We are all to be faithful. But I think God knew the struggle that man would go through, that small doubt that always lingers in the mind. And as I said, that even the smallest bit of it could move mountains.
Yeah.
But we are blessed with the word of God. We are blessed with the knowledge of God. That alone should be the basis of our faith. But yeah. I wonder why we still struggle, you know?
Mm.
We still sometimes are even doubtful when we know that God, the God we worship is with us. That's one thing that I keep on wondering, that even as you're confessing.
Yeah.
You know, yesterday Peter, I was talking to Peter and he made a strange statement, but which was true.
Yeah.
He said that the wrong ambassadors of Christ.
Yeah.
Adult that speak, but their actions are not wedded to what they speak. So there's a way you put it, because he said, you know, he's from a pastoral background. He's the son of a pastor.
Mm.
He was trying to say something about, I think, the actions that Christians depict lately. We speak differently,
yeah.
We do differently.
Yeah.
We speak of faith, we don't emulate that faith.
Yeah.
We speak of forgiveness, we speak of, you know, the people don't radiate the fruit of the Spirit anymore.
Mm.
And yet we claim to be Christians. So I was just meditating some of the things, and it's you know, it's a moment of self-reflection.
Yeah.
To see where we're living in the new dispensation, living in Christ.
Yeah.
And where we're going from. Yeah, thanks for this. It's just, I think Colossians is just a book to reawaken us and try to make us think of true nature.
Amen, amen. And that is why, you know, the believer has one fight. Fight the good fight of faith. What is the good fight of faith? Bringing everything, every thought into captivity and obedience to Christ. So you have to bring those thoughts to obey Christ and to live. That's why it says now walk worthy of the Lord. Because when you know the nature that God has given you, the nature of God, then living in the fruit, it becomes a byproduct of it. It's just a byproduct. Why? Because if you know God is in you and you're in God, then you don't take God to sin. Because now you're pleasing Him, because you know He's with you. That is now the fight. And then even if sickness comes, you fight it. You tell your sickness, you have no place in me. Because you cannot make God sick. And by the way, that sickness goes. That's why the Bible says, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Those thoughts come, oh, you're going to fail. Oh, your team will fall apart. But if you just settle and say, I cannot fail, the God in me cannot be shamed. It becomes, that's what I'm saying, it's a place in the mind of rest where you enter into rest. And that is a place now where you please Him. Because without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So the one that will please God is the one that has believed it, is continues to believe it, and fights anything that tries to contradict that believing. But that's why we're saying we're told to grow and increase in the epignosis. Grow in that complete and accurate knowledge of God. What God has already given you. Not in the future. You have it now. But you need to grow in it. You have the Holy Spirit. You need to grow in understanding of Him. You need to yield more. You're not looking forward for a future thing. You have it now. That's a difference. That's a difference. And that's a difference in Christians. There are Christians who are still the future. Oh, we will get there. Oh, we are going forward. Oh, the future is coming. The days of revival are coming. But there is a Christian who knows that he has revival now. Why? Because Christ is alive in you. That is faith. Let us thank God. We will carry on tomorrow. Heavenly Father and Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We give you glory. Thank you for truth. Thank you for realities. Thank you for the divine realities that are in Christ Jesus, that you have accomplished already for us. And I thank you that we enter into rest. We enter into the rest of a Father who loves us, that we are sons who are beloved, we are cared for, and that we lack nothing. And that when we are with our husband, when we are with our King, our Lord Jesus, we lack nothing. We are submitted to Him. And He has provided everything that we need. He is our fight. He is the one that has conquered the enemy. He is the one that has done all things, given us all things that we need for life and godliness through knowledge of Him. And I thank you that you are in charge. That, Lord, you know the hearts of each and every man, and you're able to bring them to realities of truth. We honor you, we exalt you, and we give you glory. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Shalom. Blessed day.